They thought they were in love, both of them, with the same woman. Neither knew about the other. She told one he was her escape, told the other he was her safety. And for a while she juggled them perfectly, until one of them noticed something strange, a blinking light inside her bedroom mirror. What started as suspicion spiraled into a horrifying truth. They weren't just being lied to, they were being recorded. Secret cameras, intimate moments, and worst of all, they were being uploaded, not for blackmail, not for art, but for profit. This wasn't a love triangle, it was a trap. One she'd engineered with terrifying precision. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. Two Men, One Lie. Danny. He met her at a farmer's market. Of all places, the kind of meet-cute he thought only happened in movies. She was comparing heirloom tomatoes, holding one up to the sun, the way a jeweler might inspect a diamond. Danny reached for the same one she'd just examined. Their hands brushed. She laughed. It's yours, but it's overripe. He didn't know it then, but that single moment was the beginning of something twisted. Her name was Lila. Dark hair with auburn streaks when the light hit just right. Green eyes with flecks of gold that caught your attention and held it too long. She dressed like a woman who wasn't trying to impress anyone, and somehow impressed everyone. They got coffee afterward, then dinner the next week. And by the third weekend, Danny was sleeping over in her downtown loft, which always smelled like eucalyptus and something floral he couldn't place. But she never let him stay past noon on Sundays. I need that time for me, she'd say, playfully kissing his cheek. Girl rituals, bubble baths, tarot, stuff you wouldn't understand. Danny never pressed her. Maybe that was his first mistake. Julian thought he was saving her. She was standing outside a dive bar near Eastwood Avenue, shivering in a leather jacket that was clearly more style than insulation. He offered her a ride after she got into a shouting match with some guy. A bartender, he thought. Lila didn't talk. Eyes were sharp. Calculating. So you finally found out, he said flatly. Took you long enough. Julian leaned forward. Why contact us now? Because you have something I need, Eli replied. Proof. She wiped me clean. Removed me from her catalog before I could act. But now? You have the archive. Danny narrowed his eyes. And what do you want to do with it? Eli smiled. I want to publish it. All of it. The dilemma. Julian recoiled. Absolutely not. There are victims on those tapes. Real people. Some of them might not even know. That's the point, Eli said. They deserve to know. All of them. She made us into content. We expose her publicly. Let the world judge. Danny shook his head. You can't just nuke people's privacy to make a point. Eli slammed a hand on the table. She already did. Silence. Julian exhaled. There has to be another way. Eli leaned in. There's not, and if you don't release it, I will. Lila strikes back. Meanwhile, Lila was an idol. Her legal team, anonymous, off the books, well paid, was already spinning a narrative. If the leaks went public, she'd frame herself as the victim of revenge porn. A woman manipulated by multiple lovers, now being targeted. Her publicist had pre-drafted statements. Blog ready. The narrative was already writing itself. And then something happened she didn't expect. One of her old investors called. A man from her early days, who'd helped fund the tech behind her hidden server. I received something, he said, from someone named Ramos. He says your project is compromised. Lila went still. Where is he now? Don't know, but you better fix this, Lila. Fast. Danny's idea back at Julian's loft, Danny paced. We're stuck, Eli wants full exposure, Lila's prepping a counterattack, and we're in the middle. Julian nodded. We need a way to stop Eli without helping Lila. Danny stared at the whiteboard where they'd been mapping her operation, then pointed. What if we go to the other victims? Julian blinked. What? We find them, the men in the footage. We let them decide, one by one. We give them a choice. Stay quiet, go public, or sue. Julian smiled slowly. A consent campaign. Danny nodded. Exactly. Turn her own game against her. Let the victims choose how it ends. The first conversation, his name, was Anthony, a banker, mid-30s, polished, professional. He didn't take the news well. Julian and Danny met him in a parking lot near his office, showed him the file, the footage, the context. Anthony went pale. She said it was just us, that she didn't want anyone to know we were together. Julian offered a hand. You're not alone. Anthony pulled away. I can't have this getting out. I have a family. A wife. Danny winced. We understand. We won't share your file. But, Anthony said carefully, if someone else does... He didn't finish the sentence. Eli makes his move. Eli wasn't waiting. He launched a private site, a mirrored countdown page. In 14 days, the truth goes public, unless the operator is brought to justice. No names, no identities, just a warning. But it spread. Tech blogs, Reddit threads, whispers. Lila's world was cracking, and Julian and Danny had to decide whose side they were really on. Chapter 5. Lines Crossed. The Countdown. Day 10. The private countdown site was only 10 days from detonation. Every few hours, Eli updated the teaser page with new, cryptic quotes. Lines taken directly from Lila's hidden camera audio, recorded confessions, emotional manipulation, and worse. One entry read, "He thinks he's in control. He doesn't realize I'm filming his soul." No context, no names. But for those who knew, it was enough. Lila on edge. Lila was no longer calm. She paced her apartment like a cornered animal. The servers were still frozen, her backup funds locked in cold wallets. Anonymous emails from new victims were flooding in, some furious, others disgusted, and one even threatening violence. She poured herself a glass of wine, hands shaking. Across the room, her phone buzzed. Unknown number. You used me. You watched me cry. I want my pain back. She dropped the glass. It shattered at her feet. Julian and Danny's dilemma. Julian watched the ripple effect unfold from his laptop. Reddit, Twitter, niche forums. People were speculating about the Mirror Lust leak, calling it the next Ashley Madison scandal. But it wasn't just about affairs. It was about consent. Danny paced behind him. We're losing control of the story. Julian nodded. We tried to give the victims agency, but now Eli's countdown is making everything a circus. Danny rubbed his face. What if we go public ourselves? Get ahead of the story. Julian looked up. You mean, out ourselves? If it protects the others, maybe it's worth it. Julian hesitated. Let's talk to the next victim first, then decide. The second victim, Matthews. Matthews was different. A quiet, married software engineer. Private, cautious, clean. When Julian and Danny approached him, he didn't get angry. He got silent. He watched the footage. Didn't speak for 5 straight minutes. Then he looked up and said, "She told me she was infertile. That we didn't need protection." Julian and Danny exchanged a glance. "Did she ever say she was filming?" Matthews shook his head slowly. "She said she wanted to remember me, that I was her reset." Danny leaned in. "Do you want to come forward?" Matthews hesitated. Then, "No. But I want her stopped." Elle's discovery. Elle, still assisting behind the scenes, finally cracked one of Lila's final active payment trails. A routing account still alive, hidden under a dummy corporation used only once. It wasn't routed to Lila. It was routed to Eli Ramos. Julian's blood ran cold. What? Ella showed him the ledger. Deposits? Test transfers? Small. But the name matches. He's been testing her framework for weeks. He's not just a whistleblower. He's cloning the system. Betrayal. Julian met Eli that night in an abandoned church parking lot, somewhere in Brooklyn, cold, wet, and quiet. You lied, Julian snapped. You're not shutting her down. You're stealing her throne. Eli didn't even flinch. I'm giving it purpose, he said. Everything she built, weaponized for trauma, it can be redirected, used for truth. Julian laughed bitterly. You sound just like her. Eli stepped forward. No, she monetized people. I'm documenting injustice. There's a difference. Julian stared at him. If you release that site, we'll destroy it. You'll be no better than her. Eli's voice was ice. I already am better, because I'm not lying to anyone anymore. Lila's public statement she moved first. Lila appeared in a YouTube live stream, seated against a neutral white wall, no makeup, no filter, voice trembling. I was manipulated, groomed by men who wanted to control me. I built a private journal, a way to reclaim my narrative. It was never meant to go public, but now my trauma is being weaponized. It went viral in hours. Support flooded in. Stand with Lila began trending. Julian slammed his fist into his desk. She flipped the script. Danny watched in horror. She's not just protecting herself. She's painting us as abusers. The email bomb. Then it happened. Every single victim in the archive received a mass email from a dummy address. Subject line: You deserve to know she never loved you. Inside, a short, anonymized clip from each of their personal footage, followed by this message. She watched. She profited. She lied. On July 5th, the world will know. Mirror lust. Julian stared at the email in disbelief. Eli had gone nuclear. Julian's decision. Julian stood in front of a blank white wall the next day, turned on his phone, hit record, and stared into the camera. He didn't script it. He didn't rehearse. He just spoke. My name is Julian. I was in a relationship with a woman named Lila. She recorded me without my consent. She uploaded the footage for strangers to watch. I didn't know. I was in love. I wasn't perfect, but I didn't deserve this. And neither did the others. He ended the recording, sent it to Elle. Post it. Everywhere. The backlash begins. The video blew up. Thousands of comments. Dozens of stories surfaced. Men, women, some from other cities, other countries. Lila's carefully constructed narrative began to unravel. And Eli? He watched the chaos unfold from a rented apartment in New Jersey. Glass of wine in hand, eyes dark. His countdown continued. Day 8, Chapter 6. Gone dark. Day 7. Vanished. It was Julian who first noticed something was wrong. Lila's livestream was scheduled for 8 p.m., a promised follow-up to her viral statement. Thousands tuned in, waiting. The clock hit 8:05, then 8:10. No Lila. The feed stayed dark. Julian checked her social media accounts. Gone. Twitter. Deactivated. Instagram, blank. Her carefully curated, victimized persona had disappeared overnight. Danny investigates. Danny drove to her apartment first. Her car was gone. The doorman hadn't seen her in days. When he tried her phone, it went straight to voicemail, a cold, automated greeting. Danny felt his chest tighten. She was running. He just didn't know if it was from justice or something worse. Eli's countdown. With Lila gone, Eli's site doubled in traffic. The countdown page now read, 7 days left, the truth can't hide forever. The media was buzzing. The story expanded beyond online circles into nightly news segments. Newspapers started naming Lila directly, speculating about her hidden site, her double life. Public sympathy shifted. Julian's heartfelt video had cracked Lila's carefully constructed narrative. She was no longer the victim. She was the fugitive. The raid. Julian's phone buzzed with a message from Elle. Turn on Channel 6 now. Julian flipped on the TV. A live news broadcast showed federal agents outside a downtown office building. This location is linked to shell companies allegedly operated by the woman identified online as Lila Summers. Authorities have not yet commented publicly. Julian watched in stunned silence as computers, servers, and boxes of documents were carried out by uniformed agents. Ella's next message. It's over for her. But Julian wasn't so sure. The storage unit, Danny remembered something crucial. Lila had mentioned a storage unit once, offhandedly, during their first few dates. Just stuff from my old life, she'd said. He called Julian, explaining quickly. They drove across town, tension filling the car. When they reached the storage facility, they found the unit padlocked, but Danny still had a spare key. Something he'd once considered sentimental. The door rolled up, revealing neatly stacked boxes and file cabinets. A laptop sat on a small desk, charging. Danny opened it, encrypted, locked tight. Elle, Julian muttered. We need her again. Elle's revelation, Elle arrived within the hour. It took her only minutes to bypass the encryption. What she uncovered made Julian's heart stop. Folders labeled by year, by month, names, addresses, financial statements, contact lists for influential clients, people who had paid thousands for private footage, bespoke voyeuristic content. This wasn't a solo operation, Ella whispered. She had investors, powerful people. Julian swallowed hard. This isn't over. It's deeper than we thought. Danny shook his head. Where is she now? Ella clicked on a single recent file labeled simply, Exit Strategy. It detailed a plan, new passports, offshore accounts, travel, routes. She was gone. Lila's new life. Meanwhile, thousands of miles away, Lila stepped off a small plane, hair dyed blonde, sunglasses hiding her face. The coastal town was quiet, peaceful, anonymous. She checked into a small hotel, unpacked the minimal luggage she carried, and lay on the bed. For the first time in years, she was invisible. Yet something felt wrong. She'd always loved being unseen, watching others without being watched. But now she felt trapped by anonymity, caged by silence. Her phone buzzed, a text from an unknown number. You thought you could outrun us. You can't. She went rigid. Eli had found her. The leak. That night, Eli's countdown page glitched, briefly disappearing before reloading with new content. Julian's phone erupted with notifications. Ella's voice shook when she called him. He released it all. What? The archives. Every file. Every victim. He didn't wait. Julian stared in disbelief at his laptop screen. It was chaos. Thousands of private moments, vulnerable lives, laid bare for everyone to see. No censorship, no warnings. Danny appeared in the doorway, pale. Did he just? Julian nodded. He burned the world down. Backlash. Eli's reckless decision ignited outrage. Lawyers mobilized. Victims, traumatized anew, banded together for lawsuits against Eli, against Lila, against everyone. Journalists labeled it the greatest privacy scandal of the decade. Eli's site was forced offline in hours, but mirrors popped up constantly, unstoppable digital wildfire. And Lila? She watched it unfold from afar, tears streaming silently down her face. She hadn't intended for this, not this kind of mass exposure. Her private empire of control had imploded spectacularly. For the first time, Lila felt true fear, The Hunt authorities scrambled, desperate for someone to blame. Eli disappeared into the dark web, leaving only cryptic messages behind. Julian and Danny voluntarily gave statements, their footage already public. They became reluctant spokespeople, faces of the scandal's human toll. But everyone wanted Lila. Interpol issued a red notice. Her face, her real face, appeared everywhere, no longer hidden behind masks of charm or victimhood. Yet she stayed invisible, and slowly, the news cycle turned. But Julian and Danny never stopped. Looking. A final message. Exactly 1 week after she vanished, Julian's phone buzzed again. A familiar, unknown number. Tell Danny I'm sorry. Tell yourself I loved you. You'll never find me. L. Julian's heart sank. Danny read the message and closed his eyes. She's still playing, Danny whispered bitterly. Still manipulating. Julian shook his head. No. She's lost. And she knows it. Eli's finale. Meanwhile, Eli sat alone in a dimly lit internet cafe in a nondescript city. He watched news clips playing on his screen. Faces of victims, angry interviews, outrage, and sorrow. A chat window popped up. Did it feel good? Burning her down? Eli typed slowly. No, because she's still out there. The reply appeared instantly. Then let's finish it. Eli's pulse quickened. Who are you? A single word appeared. Matthews. Eli exhaled sharply. The hunt wasn't over yet. Chapter 7. Endgame. Julian's confession. Julian stood in the center of his now empty apartment. His furniture was packed away, boxes stacked neatly against the walls. He'd decided to move. Maybe start fresh in a city where no one recognized him from the scandal. Before leaving, he switched on a small camera, this time by choice. I don't know who'll see this, he said softly. Maybe no one, but I have to speak. He paused, gathering strength. I never asked for this. Neither did Danny or any of the others. But we're not just victims. We let ourselves get lost in someone who fed on our secrets. And Eli, he thought revenge was justice, but all he did was spread the pain further. He hesitated, voice shaking slightly. If there's any justice, it's not in revenge, it's in taking back control. And I'm choosing to let go. He switched the camera off. He took a deep breath and left, locking the door behind him. Danny's peace. Danny walked along the shoreline, the rhythmic waves calming him. He'd returned home to visit family, stepping away from the scandal's shadow. He felt free for the first time in months. His phone vibrated, breaking the quiet. Unknown number. Can we talk? L. Danny stared at the screen for a long time. Then he deleted the message and blocked the number. It felt good. It felt final. Eli's last move. Eli met Matthews at an abandoned warehouse outside the city. The air smelled of rust and dust. Matthews stood waiting, calm, expressionless, hands clasped neatly in front of him. You did good work, Matthews said, but you went too far. Eli sneered. You contacted me. Don't lecture me now. Matthews shook his head slowly. I didn't contact you to partner up. I wanted to see your face. To see if you felt anything. Eli stiffened. What's that supposed to mean? Matthews stepped closer. You humiliated innocent people to punish her. You became what you hated. Eli's eyes narrowed. No, I exposed the truth. Matthews shook his head again. You only exposed pain. The two men stood silently, the tension thick. Eli finally spoke, voice low. What now? Matthews stared him down. You disappear. Forever. If I ever see your name again, I'll make sure your footage is the next thing leaked. Eli swallowed hard. Matthews turned and walked away, leaving Eli alone. For the first time, Eli felt truly powerless. Lila's final hiding place. Lila hid in a remote seaside cottage. It was peaceful, beautiful, yet it felt like a prison. She stared at her reflection in the bathroom mirror, barely recognizing the woman looking back at her. This wasn't control. This wasn't freedom. It was isolation. Then came a knock at her door, gentle but deliberate. Her heart raced. She opened it cautiously. Standing there, calm and silent, was Julian. She froze. How? Julian's expression was unreadable. Elle found you. She's good at finding secrets. Lila's voice broke. Are you here to punish me? No, Julian replied quietly. I just wanted to see you one last time, to know why. She hesitated, eyes filling with tears. I never meant to hurt anyone. It was just supposed to be about control. My own. Julian shook his head. You lost control the moment you started filming. Lila nodded slowly. I know. Julian stepped back. The authorities know where you are. They'll be here soon. I thought you deserved to hear it from me first. She watched as he turned to leave. Julian, she called softly. I'm sorry. He didn't look back. He didn't respond. He just walked away. The final news. 2 days later, headlines flashed. Lila Summers arrested in international voyeurism case. Julian watched the broadcast from a hotel room, feeling strangely numb. The nightmare was finally over. His phone buzzed. A message from Danny. It's done. She's gone. Julian smiled faintly. Yeah, it's finally done. 3 months later, the trial was swift and decisive. Lila pleaded guilty, sentenced to a long prison term. Victims received justice, but their privacy would never be fully restored. Julian and Danny testified openly, becoming symbols of resilience. Eli vanished entirely, his sights dismantled by international authorities. He left no trace, just a lingering shadow over the case. Matthews returned quietly to his life, choosing anonymity. Ella continued exposing dark web predators, turning her skills toward justice. Julian stood outside a small cafe months later, sipping coffee. He felt calm, finally healed. Danny walked up, nodding gently. Been a while, Danny said with a slight smile. Yeah. You okay? Danny shrugged. Getting there. They stood in silence, the past between them fading. You know, Danny said, staring into the distance. I think we both learned something. What's that? Danny looked directly at Julian. That sometimes the most dangerous person is the one you think you know best. Julian smiled faintly, nodding in agreement. They parted ways, each walking into the future lighter than before. Much that first drive. She just stared out the window and quietly asked to go to the pier. They sat in his car for nearly an hour. She cried without sobbing, just tears and silence. When she finally turned to him, she asked, "Do you believe people can be cursed by the people they love?" Julian told her no. That love was healing, not poison. She kissed him that night. It was fast. Too fast. But he didn't care. Because when Lila looked at you, it felt like you were the only person in the universe who mattered. He told her she could stay with him any time. Sometimes she did. Sometimes she vanished for days, then reappeared with no explanation. He never questioned her. Maybe that was his first mistake. Lila. They were both exactly what she needed. Danny was grounded. Predictable. He cooked. He asked about her day. He even brought her flowers once. Unironically. Julian was chaos. Passion. He made her forget she ever had a past, let alone a plan. Neither man knew the other existed, and that was the way she wanted it. Lila didn't lie because she had to. She lied because she could. Because she liked watching men unravel slowly, especially when they thought they were in control. But there was something different this time, with both of them. They weren't like the others. They were careful. Too observant. And observant men always found the truth eventually. So she adjusted. She gave Danny the domestic girlfriend version, sweet, soft-spoken, nurturing. He thought she wanted a future. She gave Julian the damaged goddess, broken but beautiful, craving rescue. He thought he was her savior. Neither of them knew that Lila had cameras, hidden ones, some in lamps, one in a ceiling fan. And the most discreet, the two-way mirror in her bedroom, where all her soul-bearing took place. She wasn't selling the footage. Not yet. But it was stored. Cataloged. Archived. Her plan was bigger than sex. Bigger than love. It was about control. And soon, monetization. The discovery. It was Danny who first noticed the blinking light. He was brushing his teeth when the bathroom light flickered. Something it had done a few times. But this time, he saw the faint red reflection in the corner of the mirror. He leaned in. Nothing was there. He turned off the light. Still nothing. But when he looked behind the mirror, just curiosity, he found a strange wire leading into the drywall. His gut said to ignore it, but he didn't. The next day, while Lila was at a yoga retreat, he brought over a tech-savvy friend to help him discreetly check the place. What they found wasn't just one hidden camera. It was five. Worse? They were all connected to a small server hidden behind a panel in her closet. A server with recent uploads. And file names. File names with dates. Names. His name. Julian's name. Julian's turn. Julian got the call from an unknown number. You don't know me, but we need to talk. About Lila. He met Danny in a diner off Route 9, expecting some petty ex-boyfriend story. What he got instead was a USB stick. And a nightmare. The footage wasn't just explicit. It was intimate. It was them. Raw, emotional moments meant to be private. His arms around her, his whispered confessions, his most vulnerable conversations. All recorded, framed perfectly, professionally lit. Danny sat across from him, arms crossed, eyes bloodshot. She's been filming us, both of us, for months. Julian felt his stomach churn. Why? I don't know, Danny muttered. But it's organized, like she's building something. Julian stared at the footage again. The angles, the editing. This wasn't for blackmail. This was for an audience. How many others do you think there are? They both went quiet. Lila returns. Lila walked into her apartment like nothing was wrong. She saw the dishes cleaned, her eucalyptus diffuser running. Everything exactly the way she left it. Except for one thing. Her mirror was gone. In its place, a printed photo of her, mid-laugh, captured from her own footage, with a single word underneath, handwritten in red Sharpie, smile. Chapter 2, The Archive. Julian didn't sleep that night. He couldn't. Not after what he saw on that USB stick. He watched the footage in full, 3 hours of himself and Lila in her apartment, in his car, even once in his own home. He didn't even know how she'd managed that. He didn't remember giving her access. But maybe she had. Maybe during one of those moments she'd cried into his chest and told him she was too broken to be alone. Maybe he let her into more than just his heart. And now he couldn't stop, thinking, who else had seen him that way? Was it online? Hidden in some members-only corner of the web? Or worse, was it being saved for something bigger? Danny couldn't stop looking at the hard drive they'd taken from her apartment. He hadn't wanted to go back in, but Julian pushed for it. She's gone for the weekend, Julian said. We have to know the scope of it. They snuck in through the service door, gloves on, and took only what they needed. The external drive wired to the main camera feeds. It was encrypted, but Julian's friend had it unlocked within hours. Inside were folders, dozens. All neatly named, first names, initials, numbers, sometimes locations. One folder was labeled Daniel H., his full name. Another, Julian M. But there were more. A Chris T., a Leon P., a Matthews B. Each had their own date range. Footage. Some were recent. Some archived. Some even older than Danny's earliest recordings. This wasn't just a one-time experiment. It was a pattern. A system. And if the pattern was consistent, then there were more victims. Maybe even more active relationships. Lila noticed the missing mirror before anything else. She stood in her apartment for a full minute, eyes fixed on the wall. Then she walked slowly to the desk, opened the drawer where she kept the access keys for her hidden cameras, her backups, her just-in-case gear, and checked the mini monitor. Offline, completely dead. She didn't panic. Not yet. But she knew what this meant. They knew. At least one of them. Maybe both. She'd grown sloppy. Arrogant. She'd gotten too close. Too involved. Started sleeping over at Julian's place too often. Started letting Danny talk about kids. Emotion was a liability, and she let it blur her boundaries. The question now wasn't what they knew. The question was, what would they do with it? The stakeout. Danny and Julian weren't exactly friends, but they became co-conspirators fast. They decided to tail her, take shifts, follow her to see if she had other relationships in rotation. It didn't take long. On Thursday night, she met a man outside a cigar lounge, tall, older, suited. He kissed her hand like they were characters in a 1940s movie. Danny snapped pictures from the front seat. Another one. He muttered. How many is that? Now? Julian stared. That's number 3. They followed her from the lounge to a private club. Exclusive, upscale, valet only. No way they were getting in. She's not just seducing randoms, Julian said. This is curated. Danny looked down at the footage. You think she's doing this to build a site? Like a subscription voyeur thing? Julian hesitated. No. I think she already has. The deeper dig Julian reached out to a contact in cybersecurity, a woman named Annika who owed him a favor. She didn't ask questions. She just wanted details. Metadata, she said. That's how you find where something lives online, even if it's been renamed or repackaged. They handed her the files from the hard drive. 3 hours later, she called. There's a pattern in the data timestamps. Some of these were synced to cloud uploaders, auto backup tools, but not to a typical Google Drive or Dropbox. Something custom. Obfuscated. Meaning? Meaning. She built her own server. My guess? It's hidden behind a paywall, and unless you know the access route, you're not getting in. Danny leaned forward. But can you get in? A pause. I can try. The first crack Friday night. Annika cracked a proxy route and found a buried .onion domain, a hidden site only accessible through Tor. It required dual login, username, and biometric key. The username was easy. It was one of the folder names, Leon P. The biometric key was trickier. But Annika had a workaround using extracted image frames from the footage, specifically, a retina scan Lila captured with a covert lens. She reverse-engineered the biometric hash. It worked. They were in. And what they saw made both Danny and Julian go pale. The site was called Mirror Lust. It had a sleek interface, thousands of hours of video, multiple channels dedicated to different men, each labeled only with initials or pseudonyms. There were pay-per-view segments, live streams, and worst of all, comment sections. People were watching, interacting, rating. And some of the top-rated channels? Daniel H., Julian M., and two more they hadn't even seen yet. What now? Julian wanted to go to the police, but Danny wasn't so sure. You think anyone's gonna believe two guys were victims of this? You know what they'll say. We slept with a woman and got our hearts. Broken. End of story. Julian clenched his fists. She broke laws, Danny. She filmed us without consent. distributed it. And how do we prove it wasn't consensual? Danny sighed. She's smart. She'll have plausible deniability. You know how these things go, he said, she said, and we come out looking like pervs who got caught. Julian stood. Then we don't go to the cops. Danny frowned. What do you mean? Julian's voice was low, cold. We shut it down ourselves. Lila's next move. Lila knew they were coming for her. She cleaned the apartment that night. Not the surface stuff, but the deep cleaning. Drives, logs, scrubbed metadata, erased backups. She'd been here before. Close calls, angry exes, people who thought they could ruin her. She always won. Because she never left evidence. Except this time. She had. Because this time, she liked them. She didn't know which one. Or maybe both. Maybe that was the real mistake. The package. 2 days later, Lila received a small box at her door. No return address. No note. Inside, a flash drive. She plugged it in. It played one file. A looped video. Julian and Danny. Side by side in the diner. Talking. Planning. Then a message appeared across the screen. We know. Shut it down. Or we go public. She sat back in her chair and smiled. Chapter 3. The Confrontation. Lila. She didn't flinch. Watching the diner footage loop on her screen, Lila leaned back in her chair, perfectly calm. She'd expected this. The moment Julian and Danny met, everything changed. It was no longer about desire, about fantasy, about her control. Now it was war. And they thought they were the ones declaring it. She hit the remote on her desk. Monitors flared to life across the room, backup cameras, alternate views. Not from her loft, from other locations, other stories, other men. This wasn't just a personal game. It was a machine. She was the architect. And they'd wandered too far into the center of the web to crawl back out. Still, a good architect knew when to change the blueprints. Danny stood in front of his mirror, jaw clenched, shirt half buttoned. He'd lost sleep, lost focus. Work had become impossible. He couldn't sit through meetings without wondering which moments had been stolen, how many co-workers might have seen him online, and never said a word. Julian said they should scare her, shake her, show her they knew. But Danny wasn't convinced it would work. We need to expose her, he told Julian on the phone. Publicly, not just to her. To the people she's manipulating now. Julian exhaled on the other end. You sure that won't blow back on us? Danny looked in the mirror again, as if trying to recognize himself. I don't care anymore. Julian had another plan. He'd started seeing someone new. A woman named Elle. They met at a tech seminar weeks ago, before he knew anything was wrong. She was sharp. Too sharp. She noticed the change in him immediately. You're hiding something, she told him over drinks. I like secrets, but I like truth better. He told her everything. Ella didn't flinch. She leaned in. You want her sight gone? Yes. I can get in, but I need more access. You still have the hard drive? Julian nodded. Good. If I can map her server fingerprints, I can trace her payment processors. You cut the money, the site dies. Julian smiled for the first time in days, but something in Ella's eyes made him pause. She wasn't doing this out of justice. She was doing it for the thrill. The invitation. Lila sent them both a message, printed, delivered by courier, no return address. Just a time, date, and location. Come alone. One of you lies, one of you watches, but both of you play. No signature. Julian wanted to ignore it. Danny didn't. She's giving us an opening, a chance to face her, take it. Or she's setting us up. Danny shrugged. She already did that once. The meeting, they arrived 5 minutes apart. An upscale hotel downtown, top floor. Private suite. Lila was waiting by the window, black dress, hair pinned, no makeup, or maybe too much to tell. She looked radiant and dangerous. Julian spoke first. "You really are insane." She smiled faintly. "That's a word men use when a woman stops performing for their comfort." Danny stepped forward. "This isn't a performance anymore. You broke laws. People are watching you. And we're not the only ones." Lila didn't react. "You think you're exposing me?" she said softly. "You've already been exposed. I just gave it a stage." "You profited off us," Julian growled. "And you enjoyed every minute of it," she snapped. "You think I faked the passion, the tears?" "No, but I controlled it. Because control is the only safety I've ever had." She walked to the table and placed something down. 2 envelopes. "One for each of you. Inside are non-disclosure agreements. Signed, you walk away with everything wiped. Your footage erased. I lose profit. You get peace." "And if we don't?" Danny asked. Lila's voice dropped to a whisper. "Then we all burn. Together." Danny's dilemma. Danny stared at the envelope in his hands that night. He opened it. Inside was more than a contract. There were photos. Of him. Not the kind from her sight, but real moments. Him asleep. Him laughing. Him vulnerable. Some with Lila. Some without. Attached was a note. "You were the only one I didn't record for money." He didn't know whether to be flattered or disturbed. Maybe both. Julian digs deeper. Julian didn't open his envelope. Instead, he met with Elle again. This time, she had results. Lila's using a third-party shell based in Estonia, but the IP logins for the admin dashboard route back to a single laptop here. One you described from her apartment. "Can we kill the site?" Ella shook her head. "Not without access to her primary wallet. She stores funds in crypto but withdrawals route through fiat banks. If I had her phone..." Julian blinked. "I can get it." The trap. Julian told Lila he wanted to talk. Alone. No threats. Just clarity. She agreed. They met at a rooftop garden bar. Quiet. Public. Elegant. Exactly her vibe. Julian was smooth. Remorseful. Vulnerable. "I shouldn't have gone behind your back," he said. "I miss the connection. The real one." Lila studied him for a long moment. "Is that what this is? A confession?" "No," he whispered. "It's a goodbye." He leaned in, kissed her, and in that instant, palmed her phone from her coat pocket. He walked away. 10 minutes later, Elle was in possession of everything. The upload. Lila knew the second she felt the weight missing from her jacket. By then, it was too late. The site began glitching within the hour. Redirects broke. Payment processors returned errors. Admin login triggered lockouts. She ran to her loft. The drives were gone. Even her backups. Wiped. Julian and Danny had taken it all. But they hadn't just destroyed the site. They'd made a copy. And someone else now had it. Chapter 4. The Ghost File. 4 years earlier. The camera caught everything. The flick of a light switch. The way he undressed nervously, eyes darting around the room like he knew something was off. The awkward smile. The whispered compliments. The moment he told her he loved her, and she didn't say it back. That was the last footage saved in the folder labeled, "Eramos Closed." The file had been archived. The relationship, severed. What Lila didn't know, he wasn't gone. Not really. And he never forgot. Present day, Eli Ramos. Eli had changed. Gone was the naive 27-year-old romantic who thought Lila might be the one. In his place stood a man hardened by betrayal, sleepless nights, and 4 years of quiet obsession. He hadn't been smart enough to notice the camera in her room back then, but he remembered every moment, every emotion that now felt performed. It wasn't until 2 years after their breakup that a friend sent him a link. a dark web mirror of a site called Mirror Lust. Eli watched in horror. There he was, archived, labeled, viewed 19,132 times. Something broke in him that day, and something darker took its place. The file dump. When Julian and Danny copied the contents of Lila's drives, they didn't just keep them for leverage. They uploaded them to a secure link on a whistleblower's cloud. And somehow, Eli found it. He'd been tracking everything about Lila for years, her aliases, shell companies, known associates. And now he had the full blueprint of her empire. But revenge alone wasn't enough. He wanted justice, and he wasn't afraid to break the law to get it. The unexpected call. Danny was at the gym when his phone buzzed. Unknown number. Text only. I'm not part of your little triangle. I came first. Check your inbox. ER. Attached. A download link and a video clip. Danny hesitated, then clicked. The footage was older. Lower resolution. A younger Lila. A different apartment. But the style was unmistakable. The clip ended with Lila looking directly into the camera and saying, "He doesn't know yet, but I think this one might break." Danny felt cold. Julian's interrogation. They met Eli at a bookstore cafe in the suburbs. Neutral ground. No signals. No surveillance. Eli wore a beanie low over his face, but his